Good morning. Greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. You can turn a while to the book of John, chapter 1. Maybe it's not going to be the traditional Christmas message this morning, but the theme is still around the cause of Christmas or the reason Christ came. The title of the sermon this morning is Witness to the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Witness to the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'll maybe start by just sharing some thoughts that kind of led me in this direction. And recently I heard of someone mocking individuals that believe in the young earth story. And those who believe that God created the world in 7 days. This individual went on to say that young earth believers will not accept the centuries of scientific advancements that disprove the creation theology. As I read through that and heard that, I thought about the irony of that individual's statements. He's talking about and mocking those who believe in creation, and he's using what he called scientific advancements to prove his point. I have a couple questions for you this morning around that. When did the thought process in support of the Big Bang Theory start? Anybody know? It was in the 1920s. When did the term the Big Bang get its connection to the evolution story? March 28, 1949. When did Charles Darwin publish The Origin of the Species theory? In 1859, he began pushing the concept of the mutation of species as an argument against creation. My point in sharing those dates of those theories is to make the point that those who argue that science disproves the young earth are arguing with thoughts and arguments based off of fake science and arguments that have existed less than 150 years. The young earth theory has been around since the beginning of time, since God created man in the garden. 6,000 years of belief in the biblical account, and yet the Big Bang Theory hasn't had its 60th birthday. And they bring out this thought that science disproves. I'll get into that a little bit more later on. Is it science or is it science fiction? But as I thought along that line, you know, we know that true science confirms what the Bible says. It confirms the Word of God in the biblical account of creation. But we live in an America today where less than 15% of the people believe God created the world in 7 days. We live in an age where less and less people believe the Bible to be true. More and more skeptics and less believers. In 2017, there was a survey done by a Christian organization, and the results of that survey said that only about 30% of Christian people believe that the Bible is true and accurate and literal Word of God. Around 70% believe that it's a good book, and they believe that, yeah, God inspired it, but it's interpretive. We can make it say what we want and make it fit our culture And so those were the thoughts that were running through my mind. And as I thought about the Christmas story, and I thought about the birth of Jesus, I decided to spend a little time working through some of the scriptures that confirm the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the revelation of Jesus Christ is God revealing his Son to man, and how he confirmed that, and how the Bible itself, within the pages of Scripture, confirm itself. And if I don't do anything else this morning, I want us to leave here reassured and strengthened that every word of the Bible is true, and that which God has said, he means, and we are to take it as his word and to live by it. The illustration about the creation I gave is to make the point that even though the ideology of man has shifted over time, God's word has not, will not, and will never change. And yes, we've been taught from little up to believe the scriptures, and that is right and proper, and we need to continue to do that, to teach that. But we also need to develop stronger convictions. We need to develop a more intense knowledge of the Word of God, what it means, and how He speaks to us. And if we don't, we risk being sidetracked by all of this ideology and philosophies of man that are cloaked today as science. Truth is being insulted, assaulted, and sidelined in every segment of our society. We've heard a lot in this past year about following the science. Follow the science. Brothers and sisters, science has given us the Big Bang Theory. Science has given us the global warming fraud. Science has, quote-unquote science, has brought a lot of human ideology and thought processes into mankind that are contrary to the Word of God. So I thought I'd look up, what does the dictionary say science is? Webster says it's a branch of knowledge or study dealing with a body of facts or truth. Okay? That's right. That's what real science is. Right underneath, it said science fiction. And the definition of that is a form of fiction that draws imaginatively on scientific knowledge and speculation. There's a lot of science fiction going on in our world today because it's not based on truth. It's not based on facts. It's based on ideologies and agendas and thought processes of men. And we need to have spiritual discernment to sort that out. It's imperative for our spiritual success. Christmas is under attack. We look back 4 short years. 4 short years ago, it was promoted that we stop referring to it as Christmas. And not say Merry Christmas, but say Happy Holidays, because we might offend somebody if we say Merry Christmas. 4 short years ago, that ideology was being trumpeted from the White House and throughout our society. God intervened and brought someone into the White House who reversed that, and who supported Christian ideology. And we're thankful for that. But that may change again. We don't know. So where are you in your conviction? Where are you as you hear these thought processes that come to you all throughout our society? And they say it's follow the science. to me, that immediately now raises a red flag, because science is so corrupted that it's no longer based on fact in many situations. So this morning I want to just kind of, with that as a springboard, refocus our thoughts on the revelation of Jesus. Again, how God revealed and confirmed through His Word His Son and His Son's purpose. John chapter 1. I'm not sure how much. I'd love to read the whole chapter this morning, because there's a lot in here. But we're going to... Let's see here. We're going to read the first 34 verses at least. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So before I read further, in light of the focus of the sermon this morning, the witness to the revelation of Jesus Christ. Notice as we go through here, how many times either the word witness or bear record or give record, or there's a lot of confirmation verses about Jesus as we read through this. And we'll come back and highlight them later on. But as we read them, think of them. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which shineth every man, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who cometh after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, After he cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending, and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, I'll leave off reading there, and we'll pick up maybe a little bit later those verses. The witness of the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is a revelation? It's something that is revealed or disclosed. Webster says it's God's disclosure of himself and his will to his creatures. In John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, we see John using a word picture to reveal Jesus Christ. He says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is God revealing himself to mankind, and he did that through his Son. John saw Jesus as the Word of God, as God revealing himself to mankind. Yes, he came in the form of a man, but he was the Word of God, and God revealing himself to man. Jesus Christ is the Word, and thereby all men must believe and obey that which he says, or else we forever distance ourselves from God because we refuse to accept what God has revealed to us. He has revealed his Word, and if we reject that, we're rejecting God and we're distancing ourselves from him. Verse 2, we see that the Word was revealed as eternal. The same was in the beginning with God. This Word that God revealed to us, it existed all the way back in the beginning. The Word was with God in the beginning. And secondly, we see not only did he exist with God, but he coexisted. And we see in the third verse here that he was with God at the time of creation. The Word was with God, and he was. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Every little detail of creation came by Jesus as the Word of God. Thirdly, we see in verse 4 that the Word was revealed as life. The Word was revealed as eternal. The Word was revealed as creator. And the Word was revealed as life. God revealing the revelation of God to man of himself through his Son came in the form of the Word. His life then becomes the source of life for all mankind. Secondly, Jesus was revealed. First was Jesus was revealed as the Word. Secondly, the Apostle John here reveals Jesus as the light. And we see that down in verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You know, other men may try to lay claim to being somebody special. They may lay claim to the fact that, you know, they're wise and they can lead people and they can enlighten people or whatever. But there is no one. There is no one that can claim to be the true light other than our Lord Jesus Christ. And God in his Word, and God through the Apostle John here, reveals Jesus as the light, and the light for all mankind. He is the true light. Jesus is revealed to be what other men cannot be. Other men have limitations. Other men have human restrictions. Other men have limited power and limited knowledge and limited everything. But Jesus as the light is unlimited. And the illustration of Jesus as light is such a powerful illustration because there's never a place where darkness isn't driven away when you turn on the light. Light is always more powerful. It is always the supreme power in the room. And so Jesus is revealed to mankind the same way. He is the most powerful. He supersedes all darkness. He is greater than, stronger than. He is the true light. And so John uses that word to illustrate who Jesus is as God reveals his Son to man. Light is pure. Light enlightens. Light penetrates into the darkness. Light reveals. Light guides. Light exposes. Light warns. Light protects. Light does many different things. Think of all the different ways we use light in our world. And then Jesus is just so much bigger than even all of that. But then what happened? Verse 11. He came unto his own, but his own rejected the light. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The true light was rejected. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The true light this morning, God revealed as our source for salvation. It's through that light that we have the opportunity to become the sons and daughters of God. Thirdly, in verse 14, we see Jesus being revealed in the flesh. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And there enters in the Christmas story this morning. Jesus, born in Bethlehem, in the city of David, revealed from God to man, God's revelation through the virgin birth, another Christian belief that's foundational to our Christianity, but another Christian belief that is under assault today, the idea of the virgin birth. But it's true. The Bible confirms it, and we believe it, and we must believe it. God revealed through human flesh and blood to mankind. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John's testimony was that he saw Jesus as the Son of God. And he references that and he tries to expand on that in the last part of the verse here. He says, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. There was something about Jesus, John said. When we looked upon him, even though he was in a human form, we looked upon him and we beheld his glory. Glory that could only come from God himself. And so there again, John is bearing witness to something that they saw. Something that they could confirm that Jesus was revealed to man through flesh and blood. So those are three witnesses that we have from the Apostle John. Now I want to look at three witnesses within the same passage here that are witnesses from John the Baptist. And let's go back and look at verses 6 to 8. Verses 6 to 8 here. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. And he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. John the Baptist came to earth for one purpose. He was commissioned to bear witness. John the Baptist came. We often talk about him being the forerunner of Christ, and that is true. But Scripture here tells us the same came for a witness, to bear witness that he was the light. John the Baptist, we talked about in our lesson setting this morning. He came under special conditions too. And we know that God, we know the story. We just went through it in our Sunday school lesson. But John the Baptist's whole purpose in life was wrapped up in the task of bearing witness of Jesus Christ. He came to bear witness that God was revealing himself to man. And he did that through the Son, Christ Jesus. He was sent from God, verse 6. John testifies of that John the Baptist was sent from God for a purpose in verse 7. He had a special mission to accomplish, and that mission was to bear witness to the light. John says, I was not that light. I am just sent to bear witness to the light. I'm here to make a record. I'm here to confirm. I'm here to assure you that God has revealed himself and the light of the world is Jesus. Secondly, we find in chapter 1, verse 15, it says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spoke. So as John walked about day by day, and as he had the disciples that followed John, John says, this was he of whom I spake. There's somebody else you need to be paying attention to. I know you're following me, but there's someone else here that's more important that you need to pay attention to. In verse 15, he bears witness to that. In verse 18, he says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. We see here that John is referencing Jesus as the Son of God. He came from the bosom of the Father. You can't get any closer to the Father than that. He is kin to the Father, and God is revealing him to us here on earth. He says, no man has seen God at any time. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. We have here the account where God is confirming his Son. He has spoken to us by his Son. He has appointed him heirs. He has sent him into the world. And here it says he is the brightness of his glory. He is the express image of his person. God revealing himself to man. He is the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. John chapter 14, verse 9. We have here the account of Philip. Verse 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And what was Jesus' answer to him? He said, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? God revealing himself to man through his Son, Christ Jesus. Back to St. John chapter 1 again. We see the third way that John the Baptist reveals Jesus. We find this in verse 29. And the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him. And he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. John didn't say, hey, look at me. He said, no, look over there. Over there. Behold, the Lamb of God. John the Baptist revealed that Jesus was the Lamb of God. And he revealed what Jesus' purpose as the Lamb was. In the word picture of using the Lamb to illustrate who Jesus was, he illustrated in that Jesus was the Lamb of God, and his purpose was to come to the world and to give his life and to shed his blood as an atonement for sin. God revealing and testifying of why he sent his Son and who his Son was. Behold, the Lamb of God. Verse 30, we see John referencing him as the preeminent one. And this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me. For he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. John says, the reason I am coming is to show you the one that is preferred above me. Don't look at me. Look to the Lamb. Look to Jesus. He's the one that God has sent as the Redeemer of the world. Verse 32 and verse 33, John the Baptist then references the confirmation of God by the Holy Spirit that God is revealing His Son to man. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. And we can remember the account where Jesus came to John and asked to be baptized. And as John the Baptist took Jesus and he baptized him, the Spirit of God descending from heaven, it says like a dove, came and sat upon him and said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And that's what John's referencing here. He says, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. God's confirmation again to man. And John the Baptist's witness to Jesus Christ as being the revelation of God. God coming and sharing his Son with us. And John the Baptist confirming it. And he said, not only did I confirm it, not only did I see it, but God himself confirmed it by sending his Spirit to rest upon him. And John says, I saw this. I can confirm it. I saw it with mine own eyes. And brothers and sisters, it's written in the Word this morning for you and I. It's confirmation that we can get a hold of, that we can rest in, that we can believe in and have faith in. That God didn't keep all of this in some abstract form that we couldn't hardly get our hands around and hardly understand. God revealed himself to man, to other men and women who left a record for us that we can relate to. He gave us an understanding. They used words that were descriptive that gave us insight into God's revelation to us. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Next, I want to just reference a few of the other disciples who bear witness that Jesus was. In verses 35 and following, and the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and said unto him, What did he say? His testimony, his witness is coming right up here. He saith unto him, We have found the Messiah. That was Andrew's testimony. He says, I bear witness. I have found the Messiah. Peter, come with me. I want to show you the Messiah. We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Andrew himself bare witness to the fact that God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. He said, I don't know, brothers and sisters, I don't know. How did God speak into Andrew's heart in such a way that when he looked upon Jesus, he knew, I found him. I have found the Messiah. First of all, he had to be looking. Second, he had to know what he was looking for. Obviously, Andrew knew the prophecies of Scripture. But can you imagine that moment? We get excited about stuff sometimes in life when we see something. But imagine that moment. Spending a lifetime, years. They had went through 400 years of silence. Didn't know where God was. And Andrew says, I found him. I found him. I have found the Messiah. Have you found him this morning? Let's go to verse 43 and let's look at what Philip says. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said unto him, Come and see. Here we find Philip's witness. He says, We have found him. And again, Philip, like Andrew, he says, We have found him whom Moses in the law talked about. We have found the Messiah. And then in verse 46 to 49, Nathanael, we have here that Nathanael said, Ask the question, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And then verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree. Believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Nathanael's witness of who God was, or who God had sent. I find it interesting. Nathanael asked the question, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And what was Jesus' response to Nathanael? Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Oh my, if somebody just insulted me that way, would I turn around and compliment them with such kind words? Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. When I read that, I was amazed. Jesus knew his heart. Nathanael was maybe doubting a little bit, his companion Philip. He was doubting, Are you sure, Philip? Coming out of Nazareth, really? The Messiah? The King of Israel? Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. I was just blessed as I read through those accounts. I guess I'll probably... I'm not sure I ever read 1 John that way before. I've read through 1 John many times, and we talk about the Word, and we talk about the light, and we talk about the Word being made flesh and all of that. But when I looked at 1 John as confirmation that God revealed His Son, there's many proof points within that text that prove who Jesus is. And I just want to leave that with you this morning. Let's turn to 1 John 5 yet before we close. We referenced all the witness of men. And there was many other accounts in Scripture that we could refer to. The witness of Jesus Christ began at His birth. The angels, the wise men, those who came and worshipped at His birth. The witness of men started at His birth. The witness of man came again as Jesus began His ministry. And that's what we were looking at this morning in 1 John, in John 1. The witness of man continued all the way at the cross. What was said after Jesus died on the cross? Surely, this was the Son of God. Witness of who Jesus was. 1 John chapter 5. Let's look at a different witness. Verse 1, Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. And this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. What a wonderful passage this morning. It says, you know, we've got all of that in John chapter 1. All of those witnesses that Jesus was the Son of God and that he came and dwelt among us. But he says there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father and the Spirit and the Son. But not only that. There are three that bear witness on earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. If you don't believe the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. What a beautiful passage. What a beautiful passage. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Brothers and sisters, this morning, we don't have to rely on the witness of another man. We don't have to rely, though we do rightly rely on the written word. But we can have confirmation, personal confirmation in my heart and yours that Jesus is the Son of God when we believe on him. He that believeth not hath made God a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. We have a record this morning, from the beginning to the end. The record of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let us never doubt. Let us never fear. Let us be strengthened in our faith and our conviction in why we believe what we believe. The Bible says it. I believe it. And that settles it. It's Christmas. God has revealed his Son to us. A child of hope is born to us. A son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. May we find ourselves in the kingdom of Christ this morning. May God bless us.